Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg. I am actually not in Houston, Texas. I am in Tulsa, another beautiful city. I love Tulsa. Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm right here at the Holiday Inn Express and trying to get everything under control after somewhat of an unusual flight that I had this evening or this afternoon, what started to be. It's kind of interesting when you get on the plane and you hear the flight crew and the captain talking about changing the brakes on the plane. And it's like, that's not something that you want to find out because you really don't ever recognize that there's going to be a problem until you land on the other side. But anyway, we managed that and we got here okay and everything's going good. But we have a great show for you tonight. And there's several ways that, like always, each week that you can get involved. You can just sit back and have an ink pen and a piece of paper. I always think that something will be said that you may want to jot down. I know you're going to want to jot down the title of this book and the author of the book that we have on tonight. And but you can also contact us at 888-627-6008. You can call directly in there. You can text me on my cell phone at 832-396-6525. And during the commercial break at the half hour, I'll check all my texts and see if we have any questions or comments. Or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page and comment there or just watch there and enjoy what we have tonight. We have a great guest, one that has come from a highly recognized publisher that uses our program a lot to promote books that they think that will fit in with our thought process and the people in our audience that comes on and listens to us weekly. And I want to thank you for listening to us for over 6 years right here on the most beautiful radio station, BBS Radio. So welcome to you tonight and hope things are going well for you. As I was sitting in the airport, I grabbed my little file folder that had all of the things I was supposed to do tonight on the program. And I just kind of jotted down on the cover of the folder, a few things that I want to share with you all tonight before we bring our guest in. Just some things that I've learned recently in life. One thing I've learned pretty often, but this week especially, sometimes you just can't rely on other people. Sometimes people will let you down. Sometimes people will say, hey, I'll be there. I promise. And you turn around and they're gone. You have to rely on yourself, folks. This world is such a world that nobody's going to come in and save you. Whatever you get involved in, you have to make sure you have resources to be able to get through what you need to get through on what you have the ability to do. And just don't put everything, all your eggs in one basket when it comes to people. Because some people will absolutely fail you. They'll disappoint you. And in reality, I'll do the same. I'll let you down. I'll disappoint you. I'll come up short. I'm only human. So don't rely on other people. Rely on yourself to be able to get through what you need to get through. Two, every pain that you endure today, tomorrow, next week. There's a lesson in it. There's a lesson that you are to learn. And I got a feeling, and I may be wrong, but we may open up when we have the guest come on tonight, the lessons that's learned from every pain that she's had. Pain happens for various reasons. And I think when you endure the pain, we shouldn't throw up our hands and go, "Why, Lord?" Maybe we should throw up our hands and say, "What, Lord, am I supposed to learn from this? How can I take what I'm enduring? How can I take the literal pain?" And today's kind of a high pain level for me. Having Lou Gehrig's disease, sometimes the pain ebbs and flows. This is kind of a high day for me. I don't know if it's the altitude of being in the sky and the plane a while ago. But there's a lesson in that. How do you endure? How do you tighten your belt and then pull yourself up from your bootstraps and say, "Hey, wait, I'm going to keep on keeping on. This isn't going to get me down." But there's a lesson. Try to learn from whatever you endure tomorrow, that lesson. And hopefully that'll help you get through the day and the week a little better. And also maybe something that you may want to help with a friend that's having a situation in life. Don't just moan and groan with them. Put your arm around them and encourage them. "Hey, wait, what are we supposed to learn out of this? What are we supposed to be able to take this, turn this negativity into a positive?" And when you do, you'll see things maybe in a different light, but things in your life will start blossoming more than what you could imagine. Because if you're just in a room like this and you start turning off your emotional lights, you're going to end up being alone in a room in the darkness. And sometimes you need that, but sometimes it can be depressing too. So you have to get through that. You are free to let go of what other people think. I need to hear this lesson every week. I strive so hard. I was at a, where was that? Having a senior moment. Oh, I was up in North Dallas, Irving, Texas, a couple of days ago. Met a wonderful group of people at Dallas CASA, CASA, the Child Advocate Support Assist. You know, they sit there, they advocate for all those people that have been abused and go through the court system. And Dallas has that biggest one in the country. And I got the chance to and the opportunity to speak to them. I was the opening keynote for their all-day conference, and it was great to meet them. And I hope we have some of them listening tonight. And thank you for welcoming me and being so nice and kind. But I tell you what, at the end of the little talk that I had, they all stood and applauded, and I always appreciate that. But if there's one person that would say something negative, it would overshadow in my world all of those people that said positive things. And I want to let you know that sometimes eats at me. It steps on a nerve and it's like, "Oh man, how can I dismiss that and focus on the positive?" I'm my worst critic. And I want to let you know you have the ability to be able to be free from all of the negativity of what other people think or say and feel about you. Don't let them drag you down. Life gets increasingly better also when you distance yourself from that negativity. Life will get increasingly more beautiful for you when you get away from the negative stuff, when you stop looking for the darkness and start looking for the things that are shining through. Life will get more beautiful. Being alone and being lonely are two completely different things. I can be lonely in a room of crowded people, but I can be alone and feel alone in that type of situation of where there's people all around you, but I still feel alone. But it's two different things. Being lonely and being alone are completely two different things. Hang on to what you need. And then all the last thing, is all emotions are important. I'm working right now on the presentation that I'm going to be doing at Oklahoma University tomorrow here in Tulsa. And I'm kind of re-adding a whole hour to the program because they wanted to expand the hour from 3 to 4. So I'm kind of adding stuff in there. And every emotion that our body and our mind experiences are important. Fear. When fear comes in, if we wasn't afraid of fear, if we didn't have fear in our brain, fear is an emotion that is up there that when our brain sees something, it says, wait, don't go down that dark alley. Wait, don't turn that direction. Wait, turn around and notice the person that's behind you. If you didn't have the fear, you would do things that we would do automatically without even thinking, and we'd end up getting hurt all the time. So it's an automatic emotion that's good. So all emotions are important, but how we handle them are just as vital too. And we need to make sure that we handle them properly and in the right context and in that stability that we need. And in that, hopefully a few of these things will be able to help you out this coming week. Okay. TJ, bring on Jackie right here next to me. I want to let you know, and I want to welcome Jacqueline Boylan to the program tonight. She automatically has my heart because she is a certified registered nurse. And right there, when you work in the medical field or you work in home care or whatever, and we'll find out what she does. But in that, that automatically, since I work in the medical field, I automatically gravitate and love people that have that heart for that, because it takes a heart to be able to do that. She was lovingly raised by her great-grandmother in Brooklyn, New York. And Jackie experienced profound loss early in her life, early in her childhood. We're going to find out all about that. And losing both of her parents by substance abuse at the early age of 8. And then at 12, she lost her maternal grandmother to pancreatic cancer. She has a heart. She has written a really awesome children's book that I want you to write down, and I want you to get online and buy this. But I will tell you all about that here just shortly. Jacqueline Boylan, welcome to the program tonight. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I want to be honest with the whole world right now. We are your first interview. So yes. When this person is sitting next to Oprah Winfrey or sitting on one of these late night talk show hosts and showing her 18th book and is rubbing shoulders with Stephen King and all of these great authors, I'm going to say, hey, Jackie, you remember me? I'm little Greg Williams. I was your first interview. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you. Tell me, in a nutshell, where you're located at, what state, and then what you do. Are you still working as a registered nurse?
Yeah. Where do you work at? So I live in New York City. I live in Queens, the borough of Queens.
Wow.
And I work at NYU Langone.
Yes. Fantastic. Okay, do you work in a certain department? Do you work in emergency room or just the hospital or what?
So I'm an infusion nurse. So I work in an ambulatory care outpatient care center where we take care of patients that have autoimmune disease.
Oh. So
we infuse what's called biologic therapy, medication that modifies the immune system to lower the inflammation.
Wow, that's really important right now because there's a lot of those autoimmune diseases out there and issues that people, so you do that and you treat them to try to lower that to where they can actually function and better in the world, right?
Right. So by lowering the inflammation, you lower their pain.
Yeah, you know, I think that's another show because that is so important. I think people miss out that a lot of the pain that is, at least in my body with Lou Gehrig's disease, I found out just taking two of those dual aspirin that have, that dual Advil makes me feel a little better because it's lowering the inflammation in my body, I think.
Yeah. Working with these patients is very special because not only are they suffering physically, then you have the emotional aspect of chronic pain. So I really enjoy working with this population of patients.
That's great. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm going to try to tap into your brain and drill down a little bit and get some free therapy on you because it is important. Emotional, what's going on in this world right now, it just makes you go like this, right? It's like, why? It's in New York, California, Houston, Texas. I mean, these places are going somewhat out crazy. Why? With what's going on. And I think a lot of it, do you agree, is to do with that emotional and mental health
Oh,
of our
absolutely.
communities?
Absolutely. And, although I've had negative childhood experiences,
Yeah.
it allows me to connect with my patients in a different way. So I have a very good connection with my patients because, anybody could give medicine and anybody can give, infusion therapy, put an IV in, but not everyone is able to understand that emotional pain. So, and that's a big part of our health, our overall health. So.
Yeah, I think you're right in the line of what the work you need to be doing in life.
Thank you.
When are have you got to the point yet in your, because this was you're obviously several generations younger than me, but in your emotional world that you dealt with as a child, have you got to the point in life where you can look back and go, you know, God, thank you for allowing me to get through that because now I'm a person that I probably would have never been if I hadn't endured some of that pain. Have you made it even close to being able saying something like that?
It's funny, I was just having this conversation with my friends yesterday, and
Oh,
although we know that God doesn't want any of us to suffer,
wow. Right.
I can say they were asking me what have I learned through the pain and the suffering, and I can say that I've learned a lot and that I'm grateful to have made it through with his help, so.
Yeah, and I think when we turn all of that negative emotional pain, hurt, tears, and we give it to God, He redesigns it somehow. Although there's good days and bad days. I mean, there's still bad days in my own emotional mind to be able to help people. And when you're dealing with somebody that's going through pain, you can kind of whisper in their ear. Maybe you do to your patients, hey, I've been there, done that. I've experienced this. And it does give you relationships that could be a lot closer than what just somebody coming in and punching the clock.
Yeah, that's definitely true. A lot of my patients, when I'm not there, they say, "Hey, I was looking for you. You weren't here today." So that's
Yeah.
definitely true.
They're looking for more than just the medicine and the transfusion from you. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so tell me, what made you, number one, is this your first book?
This is my very first book.
Exciting, isn't it?
Very exciting. It's
When
coming
did it come out?
September 2nd.
Oh, let's see, this is, oh, we're just within two or three weeks, okay, of this being out, and we want it to go to number one tonight. So put that up right now, if you would, right on the screen. Everybody get this book, A Broken Twig Can Sprout. Okay, why a children's book first? And then I want to find out all about the character and what's going through. And then I don't want you to let the cat out of the bag because I want people to buy the book to see what happens. But why a children's book first?
So, when you've gone through a lot emotionally, a lot of times, you go to the doctor and the therapist, they help you to see that really the person who's suffering is the little person inside you. And so, I wrote this book with the intention of addressing the pain that a lot of adults have that are unresolved from childhood. And I didn't realize that connection until I started going to therapy. And then they went back. And it's like, oh, yeah, this happened and that happened and that happened. And I realized that that was connected to the pain that I was experiencing today. So this is almost like a letter to little Jackie. written to comfort, the negative ideas that I had in my head that weren't even true to begin with. And then I felt like there's a lot of children who can benefit from this, because children who are mistreated grew up feeling like it was their fault. That was the major theme of my book. That is
Yeah.
not your fault. And unfortunately, adults that mistreat children, they put that thought in their mind. So that's what I was
How
trying
long
to
was it,
address.
Jackie, before you realized it's not my fault? How long did it take you to when you finally said, wait, that guilt, it wasn't me. It was what happened to me. When
Can
did
I
that
give
become
you a little
real?
bit of background context? I think
Absolutely,
you can
please.
understand the story better. So, as you mentioned, I was, my parents passed away and I was raised by my grandmother. She was amazing, awesome. But I also had another family member who co-parented me, and was like a second maternal figure. But she wasn't nice. She wasn't nice. She was emotionally abusive. And doctors informed me that it was narcissistic abuse, what I experienced. And when my grandmother passed away in 2021, I wrote this family member a letter to let her know that she hurt me, by all the things that she did when I was younger. And very naively, I thought that if I wrote her, she would apologize. Or at least understand my pain, like some form of acknowledgement. And what happened was, I literally waited by the mailbox, never got a response from her. So then, after about a year, I started having anxiety and panic. And so some of those messages that were kind of built in me of you're just troubled, because when I was little, I cried a lot, from the experiences that I had, because I didn't have my mom, I didn't have my dad. And other children in school had their parents. I didn't understand like why I didn't have my parents. And so, this family member, she was upset that she couldn't satisfy me. So she would get upset when she saw me cry. And so, long story short, she never responded to the letter. And then I started reaching out and she wouldn't respond. And so I started having really bad anxiety, ended up in an emergency room with panic. And then I had this, they referred me to psych and had some really good doctors work with me and go back to those childhood experiences with this particular family member and helped me to see that I was being neglected, all the way, all along, and abused emotionally all along. And they were able to help me to connect those dots of the pain that I was feeling now from her not answering me to the pain that I experienced as a child. And because when she first didn't respond, my thought was, I must be a really bad, like, I must just be terrible. I made her not love me. Like, these ideas became so strong in my head that I started having panic. So I had some really amazing doctors, and they helped me. It took about 2 years to get to this place to understand it is never your fault when you're a child and an adult mistreats you. Never your fault. Like, it took so much work to get to that point. And then finally, I was able to get there and say, Jackie, you were a kid. You didn't know how to respond to this person. You needed, instead of her being upset that you were crying, you needed someone to comfort you. And she didn't do that. So
Wow.
they worked with me. And I just recently completed that therapy. So my therapist was really good, and she would tell me to write my feelings down, and so that's how this this was born.
So, have you since then reconciled with her?
Oh, she responded after 2 years.
Two
Well,
years, okay.
so 1 year passed and she didn't respond, and so I reached out, and she didn't answer. So then, the doctors helped me to appreciate how the narcissistic mind works. And so once I stopped reaching out, then a year later she reached out. Once I stopped giving her that attention. And when she reached out, it was like as if nothing ever happened, right? Meanwhile, I was, in the emergency room, like having panic attacks, and she just came like nothing. And she said that she needed to forgive me for what I wrote, which was like, huh? Like, I just wrote to you that you hurt me. And she also said that it was my perspective, and that basically it wasn't true. Like, she would never do the things that I said. So since then, at the recommendations of my doctors, I pretty much don't have contact with her anymore because of how deeply it just affects me mentally and emotionally. On top of already having lost all the family members that did love me, I don't have their, like, when I was little, they kind of shielded me, and so it didn't affect me as much. But now that they all passed away, I don't have that protection from them.
Yeah.
So we don't have, we're not in contact.
I think when we decide and we see an overview of what we can control and what we can't control, you can control how you are respond to her, but you can't control what
Right.
she does. And that is huge. And I think your therapist, your counselors, whoever, have made some great advice. Because some people, I think that was one of my little things tonight. You're free to let go of what other people think. Let
Yeah.
just let that go. When you went through the therapy and the different sessions, did you ever try EMDR?
I wanted to do it, but there's such a high demand for it that there was a waiting list, so I never got to do it.
Yeah, it didn't work for me.
Yeah, I never got
Doesn't
to do
work for you.
it. Yeah.
So it was just basically therapy, counseling.
Like
Did you?
cognitive behavioral therapy, changing the those ideas that I was a bad kid and that's why she didn't love me. That was really the core of the depression, anxiety. And so I did get closure because that last conversation that we had, my doctor had said, because I, obviously I still love her. She was a maternal figure to me. And my doctor said, it's okay, like you can love someone without being in their space, right? Where they're gonna affect you. So I told her, I loved her, but that just for my mental health, I just needed to be at a distance. And so I got closure with that.
Yeah. And how long ago has that been to where then that processed and then the book came to life?
So my grandmother passed in 2021. And we finally spoke again in 2023. So it's been 2 years since I spoke to her again.
How long did it take you to write the book?
About 9 months.
9 months.
Well, the writing process, I love writing, so it was quite easy, but it took 9 months to work with the illustrator.
And it's one of those books, and tell me if I'm wrong, it's one of those books that they say, hey, parents, read this to your kids. But then the parent, if the kid goes to sleep, the parent's going to finish the book because it's for them. If
Yes.
I read it right, it's like, wait. It's supposed
Yes.
to be for the kids because the kids can enjoy it. But wow, the life lessons to the adult that's reading it
Thank
is
you. Yeah.
super.
It's interesting because I've gotten a lot of feedback from adults that said they cried and they had similar experiences where their pain just wasn't addressed.
Yeah.
Like, can I tell you which page I love the most, or like what made me cry the most?
Absolutely. Go right there.
So after, describing the experiences, there's a page where it simply says, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Because I think any person that's been abused or mistreated, at the end of the day, I think all they want is just for their pain to be acknowledged and for a sorry. And many of us never get that, I'm sorry. So when the illustrator sent me the page, I just cried and cried and cried. Like, at a certain point, you have to say, I'm sorry to yourself that that happened.
Yeah.
Because I'm never going to get it from her. She says this in my head. So I just have to say, Jackie, I'm sorry that you went through those things and be able to comfort myself in that sense.
That's great. That's great. Tell you what, we're gonna take a commercial break. We've already went through half of the show, so I knew this would fly by. On the other side of this, I'm going to find out some more personal things about you. And then I want to find out about this illustrator that is second to
Okay.
none and how you connected with them and how that all was producing in the
Sure.
writing of this book. You will want to not miss the second half of this program with Jackie Boylan, the author of A Broken Twig Will Sprout. We'll be right back. Don't leave us. About a minute and a half. We'll be right back. Hang with us.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
All righty, good evening. Welcome back. We were Jackie Boylan, all the way in New York City, right?
Yes.
Queens, New York City. Okay. And she is the author of A Broken Twig Will Sprout. It's a beautiful children's book, and she's going to lift it up so you can see the cover of this again.
Yes.
And when you wrote this, did it have, was there a lot of rewrites, a lot of things that you had to change, or did it pretty well just come flowing right out of you, just boom? I know it took 9 months, but.
So I would say the initial took, I wrote it in one day, essentially. But then as the illustrator started sending me pictures, I would change some things and make edits. So yeah, but the initial feelings came out like in one day. Yeah.
And the illustrator, how did you come up with this? And you pronounce her name, but how did you find her?
Electra. So I actually found her through Etsy. So in Etsy, you can look up children's illustrators, and there's a ton of them. And I looked at each of their work, and I liked hers the most. Like when I saw hers, it stood out to me, and I was like, I have to work with her. And she lives all the way in Italy.
That's beautiful. Did you get a chance to approve each? Did you make different so in that you got the chance to see
Yeah,
and
she was amazing to work with, right? Because essentially she was trying to draw what was in my mind, right? So I gave her the concept. And since we're on different time zones, I will always get her artwork in the morning when I woke up. And every morning I was like so excited, like what she's gonna send me today. And she would tell me, how's this? Some of the pages we had to work on like 7 or 8 times before we got it to where I want it. But she never complained. She was awesome. She was like, I'm gonna get this to exactly what you want. So she was amazing.
that's great. Now, when all this happened to you as a young child, how did it affect your personal relationships up to this point in life? How did having that kind of impact, that kind of situations, traumatic situations in your life more than once, just snowballing, how did that end up affecting your relationships now?
That's a good question. I think like when I was younger, I had a big hole in my heart for my mom.
Yeah.
And so, children who are abused and mistreated or who lost a parent, they sometimes can attach easily to other adults. So I always kind of look for that motherliness. Like I would look for it in my teachers, anyone basically who could give me that nurturing, I would like grab onto it and hold it tight and not want to let go. But in my case, I was fortunate enough to meet people that were super loving and kind. And that's another theme in the book. Because like the opening page shows people pouring water on the little girl. And the thought behind that is that other people can help you grow through trauma. I actually think a good support system is even more important than therapy in a sense, because if I had therapy alone, that wouldn't have saved me. But the fact that I had other friends to cry to, who held my hand, who supported me through it was the combination that helped me. Yeah. So.
And is the story exactly like your life, or how did you said it was like a little Jackie, but did you incorporate different things in there that didn't happen to you and try to make it more inclusive, or tell me how that storyline developed?
Okay, so most of it is just my life story. However, there's one scene where the little girl ends up in she's in the Department of Social Services. She's being taken away from the person that, mistreated her, and she's crying. So that obviously didn't really happen to me as a child because I was raised by my grandma, and I was blessed to have her, my whole childhood. But I had a neighbor, a super loving neighbor, who took in foster children. And she would take me with her sometimes. Like, I would go to her house to play with the kids. And sometimes when they would go visit their mom, she would take me with her to the foster care center. So I experienced like that process and watching those kids and what they went through. And so I kind of incorporated those experiences in the book. One person asked me, there's a scene where the little girl's crying because she doesn't want to be taken away, but why doesn't she want to be taken away if she's being mistreated? Well, because no matter how much a child is mistreated by their parent, they want to be with their parent. Like, they love their parent. It's a natural inclination. And so I saw that growing up. These kids would like cry hysterically, when they had to be separated at the foster care center. So that's in the book, but that didn't really happen to me.
Did the title just come into your mind, or is there some kind of special, because it's a beautiful title. It reminds me of that, what is it, Broken Crayon Still Color?
Oh yeah,
Something
I
like
read that book.
that.
I read
Yeah.
that book. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's kind of similar to that, but how did you come up with the broken twig?
Twig. So it was a combination of things that happened at the same time. So I remember telling my doctor that I only felt, because essentially what happened is when my grandmother died, she was my protector. So all the abuse kind of came rushing to my mind. It was the strangest experience, but they explained to me that she kind of just was my shield. And I remember telling my therapist that I only felt like a little part of the real Jackie was still alive. Like, I can only feel a little piece of me. And she said, if you can feel a little piece of you, we can make that grow. And I thought it was so encouraging to me. It was so, because when you're really depressed, you're down and out, you feel like this is your forever. That's how I felt, like I'm gonna be like this forever, and I was really discouraged. She kept telling me, no, we can get you back, we can get you strong again. We can make that little piece grow. And so at the same time, one of my best friends was teaching me how to propagate plants. And she showed me that if you take a little piece of a plant, put it in soil and water, it can grow into this big, powerful tree. So that's where the theme came from, that combination of what the doctor told me and then my friend teaching me about propagation.
That's great. That's
Yeah.
great. How many other books are you going to have in here with kids' books?
I have so many ideas in my mind. I have so many. I just cannot wait to write the next one. Like, this is so exciting, so fulfilling, so cathartic, therapeutic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about that part of it. When you was writing it, how therapeutic was it for you? And I remember when I was writing my memoir, or whatever you want to call it, my first book, it was hard, very emotional. How did it help you deal with things? and then get things out on the page? And how do you process through all that?
You know, it's so much easier to see like another person's situation and fully understand and fully see clearly that's not your fault what happened to you. But when it's you, it's like it's much harder. And so in writing it, you know, I just thought one doctor asked me one time, what would you say to your 12-year-old daughter
Ooh.
if this was her? And it was like, wow, like if it was my 12-year-old daughter, the only thing that I would want to do is hold her, comfort her, shield her. You know, another thing they told me is there's nothing that you can ever, a child can ever do to make a parent stop loving the child. And so I wrote from that perspective of, little Jackie, you deserved better. You deserve comfort. And so in that process, it was therapeutic. I was able to kind of take myself out of the box and look at it from that perspective of you were a kid. You were a kid. You did not deserve any of this. And so that was very therapeutic.
You said you like to write. Did you ever journal?
I've always loved writing since I was in the fifth grade. My teacher recognized that I had, you know, creative writing skills. I would journal on and off, but not like on a regular basis. Yeah,
Do you
but now
have
I do it a lot more. I do it a lot more. Yeah.
do you have an adult book that may be in you about your life story?
That's a good question. So I actually recently started a nonprofit. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. So there's a link in the back of the book. So in this experience, I learned about ACEs, which I didn't really know much about before. And so learning about how your childhood experiences could affect your future in the long term was it blew my mind away. Like it just blew my mind away. And I'm really interested in the work of Dr. Nadine Burke, if you're familiar with her. So,
Absolutely. I know her.
yeah.
Yes.
So I created a nonprofit to educate the community on ACEs and effects and how to help mitigate the long-term effect of ACEs. And so to answer your question about the adult book, my plan is to write or to come up with a curriculum that could help adults, parents, teachers kind of recognize, you know, signs of emotional distress in children and how to help them grow through it, you know, so that we can help avoid some of this long-term depression, anxiety that happens when you're an adult from what happened when you were a child. So that's a book that
Yeah,
I
I
plan on
mean,
writing.
that's what I travel the country doing, teaching on ACEs, and that is so, there's such a need for you to jump in there and start swimming with all of us doing that, because there's so many people that need to hear it. Well, the medical field is huge in that they need to understand it's not just about trauma informed, but being, what that person's experienced before they got the cold that they brought them into the office. You
Right.
know, we really
The
need to
root.
drill down, you know.
The
And
root of the problem.
yeah.
Yeah.
If not, we're just throwing medicine at the symptom, and
Pretty
it
much.
never fix what the
Pretty
real
much.
seriousness of it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so important. Wow. What are you hoping the child, when you wrote this, the child to learn, the child to receive, after hearing this book or reading it themselves? What was you hoping to make the impact of for that kid?
So I'm trying to reach the child that feels unseen.
Oh.
When I was, you know, my mom died when I was 7, my dad died when I was 8, one of my grandmothers died when I was 12. And so by the time I was 13, 14, I had so much sadness, so much depression. But whenever I would cry, you know, or express it, the response was, "What's wrong with you?" You know, like, "Stop crying." And then that created more depression. because nobody saw me. Nobody saw that I was in pain. And so I'm trying to reach that child. That child that has so much going on inside, but is labeled as a bad kid or labeled as a kid that's causing disturbance, when really they have so much good inside of them that no one is seeing. So that was my goal. It's like in the opening, can I just read you the opening?
Oh, please, yes.
So I wrote, "To every little boy and little girl who only ever wanted to be loved, I see you and I hold space for your story." Because there's
Wow.
so much power in just, there's so much pain that could be avoided if, especially in children, if the adults took time to just, "I see you. I'm sorry that you're hurting. What can I do? What can I do to help you feel better?" Like, there's so much pain that could be avoided if we see the child for who they are and what they're suffering from.
And they don't have to have the answers, right?
Nope.
They just
Nope.
need their presence.
Nope. Nope. They don't have to have the answer. The child just needs to feel loved and cared for, and yeah, they don't have to have the answer.
Wow.
There's so much power in just a child feeling like you care about me, you care about my feelings. But when you tell a child, you're just a problem, you know, like that creates so much inner suffering.
How do you deal with days that get you from a level to here, stress-wise to here? How do you cope with it now? If there's somebody on there going, "Hey, wait, I'm still at the stage where I feel all this guilt, all this shame. It's still my fault. I hear the story. Maybe I'll buy the book and that type of thing. But how do I get through to tonight? What would be some of your wisdom that you would say, "Hey, wait, I've been there already. This is what works for me." What's some of your best tips to offer our listening audience this certain tonight?
To remember the people who actually care about you and love you. Because what happens is when we've been neglected, abused, mistreated, that energy like takes over our brain. Like there could be 50 million, 100 people on this side that love you, but for some reason that negative energy like sticks in our brain. And so one, that's something the doctors had to work with me on. Like they helped the good memories to become my source of power. I had a grandmother that loved me. I had two grandmothers that loved me. And so on my dark days, I think, would they want me to suffer right now? How would they feel if they were still here and they knew that I was in the emergency room, you know, with a panic, you know, would they want me to be in such agony? And so I would say that would be one of the most helpful tips, is to remember it doesn't have to be a family member, a friend, a colleague. I had a lot of support even at my job. You know, when I was going through this, I had a lot of support from my nursing leadership, which I thank in the book. They became like mothers to me, my nursing leaders, when after my grandmother died, like a constant source of comfort. And so remember those people, and then being active helps a lot. Because when you're not feeling well, you want to stay inside, you want to stay in bed. That allows your brain to replay it over and over and over. So I struggled a little bit with rumination. I would just replay it over and over. What did I do? What could I have done better? Maybe if I didn't write the letter, you know, like it just kept replaying. But being active, starting to exercise, helped me to get those good endorphins. Just being out and keeping yourself busy, that helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great words of wisdom. I tell you, it seemed like that's exactly what I was talking about in the opening. You know, when there can be 500 people
Yeah.
applauding, one person look at
Yeah.
you cross-eyed, and I ignore the other 499. It's the
And my
one
friends were
person.
like literally begging me, "Jackie, like, we're here for you. We see you. We're here." But my mind was focused on this one person who did not care about me.
Do you
So
have
I
any
had
type
to reset my
of
brain.
tools that you use as far as like, because I think when people go through the emotion of the impact of so much emotion that it does actually And people don't understand that. I used to faint. Just boom. I just go out,
I
black
think
out.
that during that time.
Yeah. And when I look back on it, it wasn't they said I had a little TIA or something in my heart. It was stress and all that anxiety. It can put you in the emergency room.
Yes.
Do you have any type of techniques that help you lower that? Do you do any type of breathing? Do you do any type of counting? Do you type of the senses play? Anything of those kind of tools or tricks that you use to bring everything calm in your world?
So box breathing
Yes.
helps a lot. Just taking my time just to calm and take slow deep breaths.
You do
Also,
the four, 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 and four. Is that what? Yeah.
yeah. They also taught me this thing called silly voices. I don't know if you
Okay.
ever heard of it, where you because you know the negative things the person who abused me said would replay.
Oh.
Doctor taught me to imagine it in a silly voice so that it wouldn't have such a strong impact, and that actually worked. But I think the most important thing that I was taught was to kind of stop the negative thought in its tracks, because if you don't stop, then you go down the spiral.
Yeah.
So as
Yeah.
soon as those thoughts come in my head, Jackie, nope, we're not going to think about this right now. We're going to change. It takes a lot of exercise to do that. But it's so helpful to stop it before it just goes
Yeah.
downhill.
Good wisdom. As before we close, how much impact and how important was faith to you? Going through what you've dealt with in your life?
Wow, that's such a
Let me have it.
question. So when I was like, I would say at the peak of my depression when I was a teenager,
Yeah.
I actually met a young girl in school in my class who noticed that I was sad, you know, who saw me. And she actually started having Bible discussions with me. And she started teaching me the Bible, and it was such a comfort to know that God didn't want any of these things to happen to me, that, you know, he promises a better future. And I actually end the book with two scriptures that I love so much. One is Isaiah 65:17. And there it says that the former things will not be called to mind. Now, this was a scripture that, you know, I've known, you know, for many years, but it has so much more meaning in my heart right now because the memories are what causes the pain. You know,
Yeah.
those memories and those bad thoughts are what causes the pain. So now I understand even more why that's such a beautiful promise, because God promises a time where he's gonna take those painful memories away so that we can truly be free. So I meditate on those promises, you know, that everything that we're going through now is just temporary, and that gives me strength. Right? Because if you have a problem and you know it's going to end soon, your anxiety decreases.
Yeah.
So knowing that these things are not permanent, you know, God has a promise for us. And then the other scripture at the back of the book is Psalm 72:7, where it's a promise of a time when there'll be peace until the moon is no more. And I love that verse. When a time when we'll know only peace.
That's great. You make beauty out of ashes, all the tears. He knows all of them and bottles them up, and then when we get to heaven, all those tears are going to be, we won't even have tear ducts in heaven. So I can't wait till no more nights, no more pain.
I know.
That's awesome.
I
Thank you so much for being on the program. And show the book one more time. We'll make sure everybody gets one more shot at it. A broken twig can sprout, written by Jacqueline K. Boyle. Boylan. You can get it on Amazon right now. And I highly, 5 star out of 5 star, recommend this to everybody out there. Christmas is coming up. It'd be a good Christmas gift for your kids, for grandparents. Every school library ought to have this in their library. You really ought to.
Thank you
Jack,
so much
thanks for
for
being
having
with us tonight. I appreciate it very much.
me. Thank you.
When the next one comes out, let me know and we'll have you back on and, be the first one to talk about that one too.
That'd be
And you did
awesome.
great. The first, hey, you wasn't nervous at all, right?
I was, but they told me that you were super kind and calm and comforting, and they were right.
Well, you probably mentioned goofy, silly. But it was great having you with us, and you did absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon, and thank you. Keep up, and we'll be watching you rise up on that Amazon count, being the top 10.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Goodbye.
As we close each and every show, we always like to just close with this thought. No matter what you've gone through, like what Jackie mentioned, what she experienced in her life, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you have to endure tomorrow, or things may be going well, then all of a sudden you're going to be blindsided. Just boom, it hits you hard. Life's that way. You don't have to do it alone. Don't focus on the negatives. Lean on God and never forget there's always hope. Thanks for joining us tonight, live from Tulsa, Oklahoma. But next week, I'll be back in the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.